Enofi was the sort of place for which the globe moved backward. While the rest of the world progressed, Baron Enofi slid further and further into the past. 70 years of drought had reduced the duchy's meager croplands to endless sand dunes. The people harvested their gardens of cacti for water, and they existed in a system of bartering. A length of homespun cloth in exchange for the chore of mending a fence, a dozen eggs for a tincture to ease a toothache, and on special occasions, a goat in exchange for a small sack of precious imported flour.
"It's a beautiful place, despite everything,"
Duke Richard Bayford said as he rode his horse to the edge of a plateau that overlooked the soft brown landscape, broken up here and there by the lean branches of ironwood trees and the yellow flowers of acacias. He was a tall and wiry man, his face wrinkled by 4.5 decades under the relentless sun. "It's a beautiful place because of everything," his daughter Elodie chided gently as she rode up beside him. At 20, she'd been helping him with the Duchy of Enofi for as long as she could remember, and she'd one day inherit the role as its steward. Lord Bayford chuckled.
"You're right as usual, my dove. Enofi is beautiful because of everything it is."
Elodie smiled. Below their plateau, a long-eared fox sprang from the shade of a desert willow and chased something, probably a gerbil or lizard, around a boulder. To the east, undulating dunes rose and fell, mountains of sand cascading toward a glittering sea. Even the dry heat on Elodie's skin felt like the welcome embrace of an old friend. There was a rustle in the scrub behind them.
"Pardon me, Lord Bayford."
A man emerged carrying a staff. A moment later, his herd of bearded grey desert goats followed, indiscriminately biting off the heads of spiny flowers and their thorned stems and swallowing them whole. If only the people of Enofi had such gums and stomachs of iron, they'd be able to survive much better in this harsh clime.
"Good day, Lady Elodie."
The shepherd swept off his tattered hat and dipped his head as the Duke and Elodie dismounted.
"How may we be of service, Emmanuel?" Lord Bayford asked. Your lordship, my eldest son, Sergio, is about to be married, and he'll be needing a new cottage for his family. I was hoping that, you might be able to."
Before the pause could grow awkward, Lord Bayford jumped in.
"You need building materials."
Emmanuel fiddled with his staff, but then nodded. Enofian tradition held that fathers gifted their sons with new homes on their wedding day, and mothers gifted their daughters with handmade gowns. But decades of impoverishment meant it was harder and harder for the old ways to continue.
"It would be an honor to provide the materials for Sergio's cottage,"
Lord Bayford said. "True," she said. "I'm also good at digging latrines, which Sergio and his wife can use after they've drunk the water they collected in the solar stills." Emmanuel's eyes widened as he stared at her. Elodie cursed herself under her breath. She had, unfortunately, a gift for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. When faced with social interaction, especially the expectation that she say something, Elodie seized up. Her shoulders tightened and her throat went dry, and her once coherent ideas tumbled on top of one another like books from an upended shelf. Then she'd end up blurting out whatever thought had landed at the top of that pile, and it would inevitably be inappropriate. That wasn't to say she was unappreciated. The people respected her devotion to Enofi. Elodie rode several days every week under the scalding sun from tenancy to tenancy, checking on what the families needed. She helped with everything from building rat traps around hen houses to reading tales of princesses and dragons to children, and Elodie loved every moment of it. She had been raised for this. As her mother used to say, giving yourself to others is the noblest sacrifice.
"What Elodie means,"
Lord Bayford said smoothly,
"is that she doesn't mind getting her hands dirty."